The word of God given to us today is Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 15 to 24. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 15, verse 15 to 24. Allow me to read the words of God. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Amen. Before we begin, I would like to make an announcement on behalf of the Voting Management Committee regarding the vote of confidence on our church's system of joint pastor in charge, which will be taking place next Sunday, the 24th of November. According to our church article, the pastor in charge, who is newly placed at the moment when the ministry reaches its first year, needs to gain the confidence and the ordainment of the Common Assembly. The four co-pastors began earnestly the ministry as the fourth week of Sunday of November 2018. The vote of confidence will therefore take place on fourth week Sunday of November 2019. The vote will take place through Central Election Management Committees, which is a state institution's online voting system. And while the vote for the four joint pastors take place simultaneously, the vote itself is individual. However, among the four, one cannot express yes or no to few and abstain from decision to the rest at the same time. This is following the Central Election Management Committee's counsel that the participation in voting illustrates that one will express either agreement or disagreement towards all four nominees. You can vote online through your smartphones or computer, or vote offline at the polling place, which will be prepared on the first floor of the main building. For the voting to be valid, over one-fifth of the eligible member accounted for in the electoral must participate in the vote, and in the case of insufficiency, re-voting will take place. The continuation of confidence will take place if two-thirds of the voters vote yes. And in the case where the vote of confidence is insufficient, the pastor in charge in question will resign immediately, according to the church article. The co-pastor who has gained enough votes will not be subject to another vote of confidence again. Regarding the confidence in Pastor Kim Young-jun, who is currently under medical treatment, has expressed his position in the matter through a letter he sent to the Standing Committee on November 7th. He believes that because he was unable to fulfill his ministry duties of a year, that it would be proper and dutiful to the church and the congregation that he undergoes the vote of confidence after he has filled the rest of his one-year service. However, through unilateral interpretation of three lawyers of the church article and the acceptance of the standing committee, the vote for Pastor Kim Young-jun will take place among the others. Pastor Kim Young-jun hopes to be back on service by the latest next year, September 1st. If he's not recovered by then, he has expressed his willingness to resign since he feels he can no longer place burden on the church. the letter in full of by Pastor Kim of his current situation and his opinion on the matter is attached on the church homepage. Please refer to the separate sheet distributed today with the announcements for details regarding the voting. The how-tos of the vote will be distributed next week. In any case, eligible congregational members, please participate in the vote, which will pave the way for our church to play the role of setting a model for the Korean church's future. In the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, by an American Christian author, Philip Yancey, there is a story that follows as such. The girl was raised in a cherry farm in Traverse City, Michigan. Her parents were a little bit old-fashioned, so they would often, what would seem like an overreaction to her music, nose piercing, the length of her skirt, etc. But if by accident, if she was grounded, she would boil with anger inside. One day, after a heated quarrel with her father, she put into action what she had long thought. She ran away from home. She decided to go to Detroit. She had once been there when her church school back home went to Detroit to see the Detroit Tigers baseball game by bus. And also, because all newspapers in Traverse City reported in too much detail of gangs, drug, and violence related to events in Detroit, she didn't think that her parents would think to come and find her there. On her second day of leaving home, she met a man that drove the biggest car she had ever seen. The man gave her a lift, bought her lunch, and found a place for her to stay. Taking the pills that he gave, she felt something she had never felt before. She concluded that she was right in thinking that her mom and dad had never let her do anything fun. Like that, 1 month, 2 months, a year went by without much trouble. The man who drove the big car, the man that went by as boss, taught her a couple more things that guys would like. Because she was underage, she was paid extra. Her family did cross her mind occasionally, but now it was difficult to believe that she even lived with them there, and her family's life to her seemed so banal and old-fashioned. One day, she was surprised to find a photograph with the phrase "missing person" at the back of a milk carton. But at the same time, she didn't think anyone would recognize her now that her hair was blonde, with lots of makeup, piercings all over the place, and decorated with jewels. Furthermore, as most of her now friends were runaways from home, they never ratted on others. After a year, she began to feel ill, and the boss suddenly turned on her. Eventually, she was on the street without a penny. She would pick up on two or three jobs per night, but whatever money she earned was gone as soon as she bought drugs. When winter came, she slept by the iron grating of a large department store. Her cough deteriorated, and she was hungry. She was curled up on the floor, and suddenly, she remembered home, where at May, cherry blossoms would blossom. Scenes where she would run around in the forest, and the dogs would run after the tennis balls. She whispered to herself, "God, how did I leave home?" And her heart tore apart. She sobbed, thinking, even the dog in our house had better food. And with unbearable desire, she wanted to go back home. She plucked up the courage to call home, but only the answering machine answered. For first two times, she hung up. But on the third call, she left a message. "Mom, Dad, it's me. I might go back home. I'm going to take the bus to that direction. It'll be midnight when I get there, If you're not there, I will just sit on the bus until it gets to Canada. The bus to Traverse City to Detroit took around 7 hours. During the ride, so many thoughts went through her mind. What if Mom and Dad are away and they haven't received the message? Should I call them again in 1 or 2 days? Even if they are there, maybe they're considering that one of their daughter has died and is no longer looking for me. At the same time, her head was spinning from what to say to her father. Dad, I'm sorry. It wasn't your fault. It was mine. Please forgive me. She practiced these words until her voice was gone. At last, the bus drove into the terminal and the driver made an announcement. The bus is stopping here for 15 minutes. She checked her face in the mirror, made her hair, and erased the lipstick stains on her teeth. She was worried if her parents would recognize her at all, of course, assuming that they were there. As she got off the bus and entered the arrival terminal, an unimaginable scene was in front of her. Not only were there her parents, but her sisters, brothers, uncles, nieces, nephews, grandmother, great-aunt, more than 40 of her relatives. They were all wearing ridiculous hats and blowing loud instruments. The terminal wall was covered with "Welcome Back." Among the welcoming crowd came forward a father, and with crying eyes, she tried to say the words that she had memorized. Dad, I'm sorry. Her father stopped her. Shh. There is no time for this. There is no time for forgiveness. We will be late for the party. There's a party ready at home. As with the runaway girl in the story, today's scripture also introduces a young man, the younger son, who is going back home. The younger son shamelessly demanded for something he could not ask his father, his share in inheritance. And then, with confidence, he ran away from home and went to a faraway land that he so wished to go, and thus not only far in physical distance, but also far psychologically from his father. As time passed, all he had was gone, and that faraway land was in severe famine. Only then did he realize that what he possessed could not protect him. So, next, he fixated on people. Verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. It is stated that the younger son hired himself out. This does not simply mean that he was employed by that person. The form of hired out is a passive verb, and the literal meaning of it is fastened with a glue. So the second son was at a point where he could not live without the help of that person. He was at a situation where he was begging, "Please let me just have scanty of food to eat. Lord, without your help, I'll die. I will do whatever you say. Please just don't kick me out." But the second son also had to face the fact that other people also can't keep him safe. Verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The pod that is referred to in the verse is from a tree called carob in current-day Israel, as the seed of this fruit was used as a measuring scale in the ancient times, They say that the weight distinction of diamonds, carats, is derived from this word. The pod was mostly used as food for livestock, such as pig, cattle, and horse. People didn't usually eat it, but those that were in severe poverty or were slaves sold for a low price or in years of famine, they ate it out of necessity as emergency food. Also, the Hebrew for carob and locust is similarly pronounced, so the tree is often called locust tree or St. John's bread from the story that what the John the Baptist ate was in fact the fruit from this tree and not the locust. Long time ago, someone gave me some dried carob pods after his pilgrimage to Israel. It was the size of a very big dried red pepper. And despite being dried, it had a sickening smell. I kept it in my desk drawer, but had to eventually throw it away after a while because the smell was unbearable. Yet, there was no one who would give even such a pod to the younger son. Only then did he think of his father. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" The younger son finally realizes how wrongly he had thought. He realizes that his current circumstances are far worse off than the hired men that work in his father's house. He can compare himself with them now that he himself is in the same position. And now he reevaluates his father. His current master takes advantage of his labor and doesn't want to give him even the pods for the pigs. On the other hand, his father gives work to his hired men, but at the same time gives them enough to spare and save up. The son finally comes to light that his father is a benevolent person. As the son clearly identifies his current situation, he now clearly sees what kind of a person his father is. We are the same. When we cannot see our situation clearly, we burst out complaints and resentments to God. Questions arise. You say that you created the world, yet you cannot make my prayers come true. I am willing to serve you 10 times better. Why do you then turn your face away? You say you lead my life, but why do you not take care of my poverty, illness in family members, torn apart relationships? Shouldn't you give me something to be thankful for in the first place? Yet, all these questions melt down like snow when we realize and verify how terrible of an existence we are. If these questions continue to linger in your mind, all you have to do is wait a little bit more while facing towards God. When we come to see our lives, which are filled with flaws, the ego that is still so stubborn, and the fact that we are still drenched in materialistic values, we will eventually be thankful from bottom of our hearts to our benevolent God, because he is always facing us and holding out his arm. The enlightened younger son thought about how he should ask for forgiveness when he came to face his father. Verse 18 to 19. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." The younger son could not ask his father to take him back as his son, but thought to confess to his father to take him as a hired man. It seems natural and sensical as he had left, stabbing his father's heart with a dagger. At this very moment, the younger son is being newly built as a worthy son of his father. Occasionally, we hear testimonials of people who have come to believe in Jesus after they have become an adult. The testimonials often contain such confessions. I wish I could have believed in Jesus when I was younger, when I could have devoted more, when I had more. It is sometimes upsetting that I believed so late in life. However, as they ended up leaving even at those late years, they understand that their wrongful paths before were in fact God's profound and pinpoint accuracy to lead them as his children. The younger son's action after reflecting on what he should think when he sees his father is as such. Verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. This action is the best of the younger son's action. The fundamental of faith is always going back to Father, Father God. In particular, the younger son got up and went to his father. The verb get up is anastemi. It can mean literally get up, but is mostly used in New Testament to mean resurrected. Thus, what the younger son raised up in order to go back to his father was not only his physical body, but was in fact his soul. The Holy Spirit woke his soul, which seemed to be in deep sleep and in near death, and raised it up. If we have hopes to turn towards God and to better serve Him, this is because the Holy Spirit shook and woke up our souls. In the age of the prophets, when people acted as they saw fit and to the material values, there was a huge famine in Bethlehem, Judea. Elimelech and his wife Naomi, two sons Malon and Kilian, went to live for a while to Moab, thinking that they would eventually come back. However, what should have been a short-term moving became a long-time immigration, and 10 years quickly passed by. During those years, the husband Elimelech passed away, and two married sons Malon and Kilian also died. The meaning of the name Malon is feeble, so it can be inferred that he died from illness, and the meaning of the name Kilian is lost, so it seems that he suddenly left, perhaps by accident. 10 years after immigrating, only the three women left. Then Naomi hears news of her homeland. Ruth chapter 1 verse 6. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. The news was that God had come to the aid of his people. Naomi, at the moment that she realized that there was nothing left in her life in the foreign land, she came to see what kind of being God is. That is why Naomi got up with her two daughters-in-law and headed to Bethlehem. Get up in Hebrew is kum. When Jesus brought back the leader of synagogue Jairus' daughter back to life, the words that he said were Talitha kum, girl, get up. What Naomi raised up was not only her body. Her soul was also awakened. God woke her soul, which seemed to be in deep sleep and near death, and ultimately raised it up. That is how the younger son and Naomi could go back to Father God. Prophet Hosea cried out words of God towards sinned Israel people. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. At that time, Israelites were deep in idol worshipping, and metaphorically, their souls were living the life of a whore. Yet, Prophet Hosea cried out to God to go back to God. The reason that he could do this was because he had faith that even though lives may be covered in wounds due to living in a materialistic world, if they could only just turn to God, that God would make a brilliant mosaic out of fragmented pieces. That is who God is. He is the one that brings our lives to its original form and heals it even though it is completely wrecked. Only if and whenever if we go back to him. This is possible because he is the one that created us and because he is our Father. There is an American gospel composer, William James Kirkpatrick, who was born in 1838. When he was 2 years old, he immigrated from Ireland to Duncannon, Pennsylvania. Due to his father's influence as a musician and a teacher, Kirkpatrick professionally learned music from early age. So he was musically talented to a point where he could handle various wind and string instruments such as flute, violin, cello, organ, and more. He also learned carpentry. As a result, he ran a furniture store until the age of 40 and used his spare time for music. And later, he focused on music works when his wife died. As a conductor and music director at church, he published nearly 100 works of gospel throughout his life. He died at the age of 83, on the day that he told his wife from his second marriage that he would go to sleep after noting down the medley that was lingering in his head. He passed away while composing the gospel in front of his desk with a pen in his hand. 14 of his works are in our hymns. Number 185, Oh, Spread the Tidings Round. Number 370, The Trusting Here to Jesus Clings. Number 391, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord. Number 539, Go, Carry Thy Burden to Jesus. Out of 14 songs in our hymn, there is only one that Kirkpatrick both composed and wrote the lyrics. That is hymn number 273, I've Wandered Far Away from God. The original title is Coming Home. In outdoor revival service that often took place during that period, Kirkpatrick often served as the music director. The hymn Coming Home was composed and written in the service that took in Rollinsville, Pennsylvania in 1892. In that service, every night, a young man would sing in rich and full voice. Many were touched by his voice, but he himself was not a Christian. He sang in revival services, got paid, and left for home without listening to the sermon. When Kirkpatrick realized this, he tried to spread the word, the gospel, to the young man, but all he received was cynicism. While praying for this man, young man, a verse came in a flash, and he wrote it down. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. The five-verse hymn was completed at the spot. Kirkpatrick gave the hymn to the young man and asked him specially to sing it for the evening. The young man sang the hymn with force as usual, but as he was singing, he realized that he was the one that should be coming back home. In the end, he could not finish until the fifth verse, and that night he became a Christian. Afterwards, this hymn brought back so many people back to God by touching people's hearts and soul. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday, where we celebrate all the grace that God has bestowed upon us during the past year. As we age and our faiths mature, do we not realize that the title Thanksgiving Prayer is the very miracle of God's grace that we can live as His children when we are hopeless people? The younger son tried to achieve something by himself and find meaning and value away from his father. However, what he experienced was fields, pig breeding, and life where he could not even properly eat husk pods. But from the moment that he got up and went back to his father, and as long as he does not lose sight of what kind of being his father is, each and every day shall be day of thanks. It is same with us. The best offering that we can bring up to Father God is not in our pockets, but is as us ourselves, our lives. If we have become God's children who has received salvation, thanks to the cross of Jesus, what better Thanksgiving offering will there be to be built together in Christ and live with Father God as the objective? If you are currently far away from Father God or is spiritually sunk low, let's lift our heads up. Do you not see God's hands reaching towards us to raise us up? If our lives and faith turn towards Father God, then each and every Sunday will be Thanksgiving Sunday. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for letting us remember through this Thanksgiving sermon where we should always go back as we live our lives in this world. We think in our heads that we should go back to you, but confess that our bodies are turned towards the secular world. So many times, our reason and our instinct moved in different directions. You, who raised up the younger son and leaded him back, and you, who raised up and even turned back Naomi, who tried to avoid you in the period of famine. Please give us courage and faith to recognize that you are alive and that we can go back to where your words are present if there are those among us who avoids you, who is avoiding you and is disobeying you. As we live dwelled within you every day, let the services be our daily lives and our daily lives a service, and that we may properly fulfill the role given to us to be the lower branches that lift others up. Furthermore, let the 100th anniversary memorial church properly and in the right direction take care of our work of calling, the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Church Martyr Memorial, so that we can take step by step forward towards 200th anniversary of Korean Church. Let the path that this church take be a milestone for the Korean Church. Thus, let each of the Sundays we offer be Thanksgiving Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.